for our daily newsletter on our website and also find our audio podcast on iTunes and Spotify.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. Up next, The Struggle with Olivia and Alyssa.
Hello, we are Pacific Underground on KBOO Community Radio. Our show is on hiatus until May, and until then, we are looking for new members to join the collective. Pacific Underground is the only show by and for Asians and Pacific Islanders in the Pacific Northwest. There is no experience necessary to join, just an enthusiasm for API content and stories through the medium of community radio. If you are Asian or Pacific Islander and are interested in joining, please contact us at pacificunderground@kboo.org, all one word, or message us on Instagram at @PACUnderground.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Act Now on Climate Emergency, Thursday, February 27th, 4 to 7 p.m. at Portland City Hall. This climate emergency rally will demand annual steps to reduce carbon emissions by at least 8% each year and to end Zenith tar sand oil exports. Enjoy street theater, music, and a puppet show. Again, Act on Climate Emergency this Thursday, 4 to 7 p.m., City Hall, 1221 Southwest 4th Avenue. More information can be found at kboo.fm's homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio will be holding a volunteer orientation on Tuesday, March 3rd from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. The orientation will be at the station, 20 Southeast 8th Ave, near East Burnside. For more information, you can log on to kboo.fm or send an email to volunteer@kboo.org. See you there!
We will not bow down to racism.
We will not bow down to
injustice.
We will not bow down to
exploitation. I'm gonna stand. I'm gonna stand.
wrestle in the boardroom, so give me more room. Deny my opportunity, you in jeopardy. Yo, yo, set me free, don't hinder me, let me be.
I'm out here for freedom, I got the heat in case you need them. A straight soldier, ain't nobody told ya.
We've been together since I created border. The African border celebration is in order.
My only chance of being free is to fly within me, and it's illegal to kill a freaking eagle. A bird is never more important than my people. I guess we didn't need him, so I took away his freedom.
Hello, everyone. This is Alyssa Pariah, your friendly neighborhood agitator. I'm live in KBOO Studios. It is Friday, February 28th, and I just want to send out some love to
Olivia, membership in the Black
who is
Panther
doing
Party.
Some very
and none of that
important
okay,
work
shook.
For the union. Oh, wow. Oh, we almost got the song playing again.
Oh.
Zainab Saab is in the studio.
Hello.
Olivia, Zainab came in to fill in for you. If people were listening last week, you know, Olivia is doing very important union work. The cat is out of the bag.
Yeah.
So do you know about this?
Yes.
Okay. So
preschool is trying to unionize.
Next Saturday, they're having a community solidarity rally. So make sure you come. But we'll talk about that when we get to events.
For sure.
But I'm glad that you wanted to come on, and you were feeling froggy on your Instagram story talking about ways that Islamophobia is showing up in our lives and in the world right now. So come on.
Hoo hot. Yeah. First of all, I want to say thank you for letting me on the show.
Yeah.
I really appreciate it. And I also really appreciate the steadfastness of like me texting you like, can I get on this show and talk about this? She's like, what are you doing Saturday? What are you doing on Friday at 7? And I'm like, nothing. I'm going to talk about
it. I'm not a gatekeeper. If you know what you're talking about, you can come on anybody.
Yeah. So yeah, I think like, okay, so quick backstory here. I have just been noticing like this really overt pattern of Islamophobia that at this point I think really needs to be discussed. I think yesterday was the first time where I expressed like really intense worry and fear. And as if, of course, I haven't been worried about like the consequences of Islamophobia in the U.S., I think now more than ever on a global scale, I sense a fear for not only just like Muslim people, but anyone who is quote unquote perceived to be Muslim. That can be brown folk, black folk, like something as simple as like Sikhs are always a target under Islamophobia, because xenophobia and racism, the false assumption you wear a head wrap or a turban, you must be affiliated with that ideology. It's just a simple example of that. And also too, like non-Muslim, like Swana people. So Swana, of course, is Southwest Asian and North African people who aren't Muslim, who are of that region. So for instance, you have like Yazidis, Druze, Assyrians, Chaldeans, those who don't practice Islam, but like also face the consequences of Islamophobia because they are from the Swana region. So I think for me, just seeing this pattern, first starting off with China and recognizing like the millions of Uyghur Muslims who have been like forcibly detained and tortured and killed simply for being Muslim within the People's Republic of China under Xi Jinping. So that's always been something on the back of my mind for quite some time of like, how is no one talking about this? I think right now when we talk about China at this particular moment, of course, we're talking about like the coronavirus and how they're handling it and the spread and everything. But I partially feel, and I may be wrong on this, but like it's almost as if it's like this current issue has become a veil to hide the rampant Islamophobia that's happening there and just covering what is happening behind the veil, behind the curtain. And I think the second thing that really hit me was Trump's most recent visit to India to go visit Modi. And when I was watching Democracy Now! Not too long ago, like this past week, how rampant escalation of anti-Muslim violence has taken place. Like, I think the last number was like so far since Trump's arrival to India, I think it's been like 36 people and counting who have been killed under the Hindutva fascist regime that's like literally turning a blind eye to its Muslim brethren. You see videos of like law enforcement and cops who are actually like wanting, like not necessarily wanting this to happen, but like are just literally turning their head away from the situation, letting civilians like hurt these people. And on top of Trump's sort of praise of like the Muslim citizenship, quote unquote, law that's about to take place in India, which limits citizenship for those who are from India that are Muslim. So I think that's why I wanted to come on here, is like just talking about that and really wanting to address that, because it's just so incredibly frightening now more than ever that you have three superpowers economically: the United States, China, and India. All of them have such a great economic power, all colluding with one another, or all like for lack of quote unquote fighting with one another, making disagreements. But like the unfortunate part of that is that whether they like each other or not, they can all mutually agree that Muslim people should not exist. Yeah.
Oh, so what was some of the responses that you got from you speaking out?
I haven't gotten many responses, in all honesty. I just wanted to like say it for the sake of saying it and letting it out into the world, because I've recognized that I have held back and staying quiet because me as a Muslim is like just internalizing all of it and like processing it, and I don't have the words, you know. And whether or not I said things like properly or not, and if I did say something improperly, I hope someone corrects me and is like, oh, thank you for that. Like, I think one lesson that I've learned in the last few weeks is like better to say it wrong, for lack of a better term, than to not say it at all and then have someone correct you. I'd rather have that.
After you've made sure that you've at least tried. Don't let people off the hook.
Do not let people
and
off the hook.
And if someone has a correction, they can leave it with Jerron, our producer, myself, Jerron. And he'll give me a note and I'll forward it to you.
Oh, thank you.
No problem.
I'll read it as I drink my French press coffee and pour you a cup of coffee in my place.
Thank you.
Of course. Thank you. So I haven't gotten many responses. Little to none, if any. I hope that's a sign that like people are mutually in agreement of what I'm saying. Like, this is a huge epidemic and we need to pay attention to it, because the way that Islamophobia is festering now, we also have newer countries added to the Muslim bed. We have 6 more countries, you know, on top of like not too long ago we have added sanctions back on Iran, and the continuance of what we were talking about prior to the show beginning, like Muslim CVE countering and vetting extremism and surveillance. So yeah, I think like domestically that part right there, like the surveillance mm-hmm. is really intense, and it's like also unfortunate that the side effect of this is using our own people that are Muslim going into like spaces that we think are protected, like a mosque or a masjid, and it's not as safe as we think it to be.
What's his name?
Bloomberg.
Oh my God, he's such a nightmare.
Truly.
He admitted to after 9/11 with the help of the CIA spying on New York City residents, sending people into mosques and masjids to make sure that they weren't saying anything that was against him or America or whatever.
Right.
And he got nothing.
Yeah, zero.
And there's probably not going to be any accountability for that either.
No.
Because if you can express enough panic and fright, and you can get away with any of that.
Yeah, and also too, we have to remember like when Bloomberg started that, which was like right after 9/11, or shortly after, when he had his first term, right after Giuliani, I believe.
First of 3.
Yeah.
Oh, you bought your way to a third election. Now you're trying to become the president. What's up with that?
I'm feeling a little sussy over here, you know?
I can't stand him.
But yeah,
it's okay. You can say that on this show.
Yeah.
Yeah. We even openly are just like, yeah, we're Bernie. We're on the Bernie
channel over here. Long live Bernie Sanders.
I mean, Olivia, my normal co-host,
right.
She has gotten quite a bit of heat on this show because of her distaste for Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah.
And I don't want to tell anybody what they can and can't say. So
I'm here for Bernie. I feel like of course Bernie can obviously say more, especially when it comes to like issues pertaining to like Israel and Palestine, but out of any nominee we've had in like, I don't know, 20th and 21st century, he's like overtly the first one to say, I'm not going to sit here and support a lobby that upholds racism and xenophobia.
AIPAC.
AIPAC. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to sit here and say that Netanyahu is a nice person, because he's not. He's a war criminal.
He called him a reactionary racist.
Yeah, not wrong.
I said, shots fired. Okay.
14 out of 10, not wrong. So we appreciate that for you.
Yeah.
And now we're seeing like, oh, Warren is not going to AIPAC because she's seeing a trend too. About time. But she went the last election. That's none of my business. And we have now Amy Klobuchar, who isn't gone, and Pete Buttigieg, who's a whole mess up in here.
Did you see him trying to get on a picket line?
Oh my God.
In South Carolina, how they play him?
Oh, a mess.
Truly. So the Fight for 15 in South Carolina, like there were a bunch of like black women out there like being so militant, fighting for 15 in a union. And he tried to jump in halfway through their march and get behind the banner and take some pictures.
Oh my God.
And people started chanting against him. And the chant was so good. It was, where was 15 in South Bend?
Ah, there it is.
You can't be our president. Or Pete can't be our president. And he ducked out.
No, truly.
And then someone from Black Youth Project 100 started like running up on him and were like pushing him to like admit how wrong he was and how harmful he's been to black people
and also
people
to
in poverty.
Him comparing his queerness and his gayness to blackness.
Oh no. Ooh,
do we okay. not remember that?
Well, come on, give it.
Yeah, oh, you don't remember that statement? Tell oh, apparently like Pete Buttigieg is out here being like, I understand the black like the struggle of like the black people because I am a gay man.
Oh no.
Like literally that is the most I don't see color statement I have ever heard in my life. This rich white gay man over here.
Yeah. Who photoshops black people into his photos. Oh,
so bad.
Oh my god. And then when he was in Nevada,
yeah.
or am I saying it right? Nevada. No, Nevada.
Alana's not here to correct us.
So I know. Oh, shout out Alana, JVP, PSU, Jewish Forces for Peace.
We love her.
The iconic anti-Zionist Jew
yes.
who we all need
yes,
in our lives.
Truly.
He was speaking to like, you know, the black bourgeoisie,
yeah.
you know, who's there, you know, they're doing very well in business and therefore they magically like Pete. Their business interests prevail over their own people. Anyway, and he was talking like a preacher,
uh-huh.
like his affect of his voice was so funny.
No.
Yeah, he sounded like an evangelist.
Oh Lord,
like Joel Osteen, you know, like one of those people. It was really something. He was like. He wasn't doing like mm-hmm. African American vernacular
oh, yeah, yeah.
English
no,
thing,
God,
God. But he was love. Doing like a little bit of like a preacher thing, and you know, like evangelicals,
yeah,
like
yeah.
there's a lot of oh, yeah. like you know crossover
oh, yeah,
in the way that they preach.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
even the white ones have a lot of black
they see the
flavor.
Yeah, they see the popularity.
Yeah, so yeah, not a
no.
Pete person either.
No, that was really okay. wrong. And also, I just don't think that's... Also, I don't like the identity politics that Pete uses, using his queerness.
It's very cheap.
It's very cheap. Yeah. I don't like how he's upholding that, like, this gross identity politics. And the best thing I ever heard for an analysis of Pete Buttigieg, honestly, is that, like, he's running for president because he can, but he has no idea why.
Oh.
There it is.
Oh, okay.
Because he can.
Yeah, well,
he has the means to.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I want to talk about some of the events that are happening. I already started talking
yes.
about it, but Olivia, mm-hmm. I want to make sure that I'm giving out all of the information so that we get this right and we get the biggest turnout possible.
Mm-hmm.
So, Olivia and the other workers at the Growing Seeds Workers Union are having a community support rally. Please show up. It's next Saturday, March 7th, 1 to 3 p.m. at Peninsula Park Community Center at 700 North Rosa Parks in Portland. And they say, Growing Seeds workers filed to join the ILWU, International Longshore Workers Union, on February 18th. While we hope the school administration takes the high road and does not engage in any anti-union campaigning and lets workers decide for themselves, free of fear and divisive tactics, we recognize that the decision is not ours to make. That is so spicy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
That's very loaded.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Love that. Okay.
Yeah.
We also recognize that the decision is not ours to make. Instead, we are focusing on what brings us together, our goals, ideas, friendships, and communities. Please come and join us in celebrating what is possible with collective bargaining and worker solidarity. What else we have? Oh, yeah, yeah. We'll go back and forth on
okay.
all of the events. Oh, good. You're, like, getting into it.
Yeah,
Olivia, see, Zainab is, like, doing
We're
a good job for
you.
Yes.
I'll never be as good as you, girl.
This is an event where everyone in our extended community is welcome. Again, that is Saturday, March 7th, 1 to 3 p.m. at Peninsula Park Community Center. That's the Growing Seeds Workers Union Community Support Rally with our very own Olivia Pace in the front. So proud of you. So thank you for everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you've got some stuff coming up too that you want to share.
Yeah. So this one I just saw right now, which I'm really excited for because a good friend of ours, Miss Ruba is going to be on the panel.
Ruba, thank you.
Ruba.
Please.
We love her. We live for her. All of it.
She's so smart and heartfelt.
Yes.
The best person that you'll ever meet.
Truly. Like, I said it to her face and like still stands that she is the most intuitive human I've ever met in my life. Nobody senses things quite the way she does. Like that's some ancestral seeds in her. And I'm like, we love her for it.
I want you to talk about those ancestral seeds, but first tell us about the event.
So Saturday, March 7th from 7 to 9, The Art of the Steel, a panel on Palestine and Israel at the Grace Memorial Episcopal Church at 1535 Northeast 17th Avenue in Portland. The Art of the Steel, the Peace Sham and the Struggle for Justice in Palestine, Israel, a panel discussion and question and answer session organized by members of the Jewish and Palestinian communities of Portland. So please go check out that event.
Again, when and where?
It is Saturday, March 7th from 7 to 9 at the Grace Memorial Episcopal Church off 1535 Northeast 17th Avenue.
Excellent. It's called The Art of the Steel.
Mm-hmm.
Is this a documentary or like an article?
No, it's a panel discussion.
Okay. Yeah. So, and what are they talking about? The occupation?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I'll go. I'll see you.
Yeah.
We
gotta go support her.
What do you anticipate, or what are some of your thoughts that you want to share about what might be coming up on the panel?
In all honesty, I think what I'd like to see on the panel, and I hope it comes up, is like the importance of the election in relationship to the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. Mm-hmm. That we can no longer put this issue on the back burner anymore. And recognizing talking about Palestine in this election is a litmus test. It should be the bare minimum when it comes to human decency. And for me, I use it as a litmus test myself of like, when I ask someone, like, what are your thoughts on Palestine? I don't want any wavering answers. I want like, either yes, you're for it. Mm. I don't want to hear like, I'm not here for the occupation, but I still believe that like Israel should exist. I'm like, nope, no. I don't want to hear that. I want a unified Palestine. And for me, that's what I would like to hear, is like how it intersects so many identities, so much of Palestine intersects class, indigeneity and settler colonialism, race and ethnicity, gender, and I just think that if we're not talking about Palestine, we're missing the boat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Leila Kanaan, host of One Land, Many Voices, mm-hmm. is going to be on that panel.
Ooh.
And I suggest that people check out that show on KBOO every week. So, that it has been really helpful in me understanding how the occupation has a nasty effect on how people in the U.S. There's a documentary called Occupation of the American Mind that talks about this, like that we as a default get nothing but propaganda that just supports settler colonialism, and that if you're not meeting someone who will interrupt that for you and that will help you along, that's the default.
Yeah.
And that's where I was at, and I feel like shame that was something that I used to hold. And it wasn't until I also made meaningful relationships with Palestinians here in Portland that are my close comrades now that have educated me.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the things that I was susceptible to, and I know that many people are as well, is all of the gay friendly travel stuff comes out from
the
Israel.
Pinkwashing.
Yeah, pinkwashing. Uh huh. Another good documentary. Mm-hmm. What did I say? Like the only place in the Middle East where
The only gay friendly place in the Middle East, like the only democracy and the only gay friendly country in the Middle East,
so,
which is such an outright lie because there's so many limitations for queer people, whether they're Israeli or Palestinian, especially. And I hate hearing that argument of like, oh, it's the only place that's like queer friendly. But I'm like, okay, cool. If it's so queer friendly, why is it that there are narratives that we hear, I'm sorry, that we don't hear, that but you know of, where we hear stories of like people using like Palestinians who are closeted as like a tactic for Israelis.
For blackmail.
Yeah, it's a blackmail.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a real thing.
Yeah.
And also, like, if you're so queer friendly, why don't you allow like access for those who are like Palestinian and queer to do like the work that they want to do, you know, and all of Palestine, including like the state of Israel.
Yeah, I think it's important for anyone who's thinking about going. It's like, you're going to need to be white if you want to enjoy that gay-friendly Tel Aviv vibe.
Yeah.
Because if you're not, you're going to have a hard time. So even if you're not Palestinian, you might be Puerto Rican.
Yeah.
Hey, Boricua.
Because there's a
lot. And you go over there and they're going to be like, you look like one of those Palestinians.
Yeah, there's a lot of racism.
Show me your
xenophobia.
ID with a gun in your face.
Yeah.
So
you want to know fascism at a large scale and it's disguising itself as like a queer friendly area. Look no further than the state of Israel.
Speaking of, oh my God, queer people in Puerto Rico. I am sorry to report if you haven't already heard, but another trans murder hate crime just went down. Alexa Ruiz in Puerto Rico. She was a transgender activist who was killed early Monday morning, just hours after someone called the police to complain that she'd used the public restroom at a McDonald's. And disturbing video posted to social media appears to show the final moments of her life as her attackers followed her in a car before opening fire and shot at least 10 gunshots. They say that they suspect four teenagers that were involved in the murder. And she was an activist who was trying to, in her way, push the bounds where she was at and being ridiculed for not being gender normative and just trying to use the bathroom is something that can get you targeted. Mm-hmm. And I am sorry to... trans people that are hearing this, people who love trans people, who know how scary it is for us out there, and for Puerto Ricans who are thinking about home and how complicated it is for some of us to go back, that it's actually not safe for us to go back, and some of us more than others. So one of the most famous people from Puerto Rico right now who's making music, Bad Bunny, had a guest appearance on the Jimmy Fallon show and was in solidarity with trans people and had a shirt that translated to they killed Alexa, not... a man in a dress, which is what they were referring to her as. And you know, this is like one of the main things that really makes being trans hurt so much is that even after they kill you, slaughter you, you know, get rid of you, they're gonna talk about you in a way that is meant to degrade you even more after you're already dead. So it, it makes it hurt more. And I hope that her spirit inspires people to fight back and win. So, that happened.
I don't know if you know, have you watched the show Hintified at all? It's a really good show on Netflix that just came up. It's, I've been talking about it to everybody, but...
Hentified.
Hentified, yeah.
Okay.
It's like spelled G-E-N-T.
People or our people. So like like Latino neighborhoods.
Yeah.
Okay.
So one of the writers who is a trans writer and activist, Camila Maria Concepcion, she recently passed away at 28 and she was a trans woman and trans activist who committed suicide. So trigger warning for those. I'm so sorry.
That's real.
Yeah. And she was only 28 too.
No,
because like if you watch the show, it makes it's just a really incredible show that I really wish everyone to watch. It just came out a little less than 2 weeks ago, but it's a really beautiful TV show that talks a lot about like intersecting identities within Latinx culture that's in Boyle Heights, California. That's what the show is like, sort of where it's centered. And she was one of the writers, and it's like, wow, I can see that, because like, there's a really good queer narrative in here, and it looks like someone took their time with it, you know, and it's just really devastating. Camila Maria Concepcion.
Rest in power.
Rest in power, Camila.
No, it's really hard. I've talked about this a little bit on the show. I don't want to be on here crying. I want to keep it as light as we can with the reality that we have, but I'm 33, and this is like when trans women usually are dead.
Yeah,
and I feel like a strange kind of sense of guilt for just being alive still. I spoke to you about this
for sure. Yeah,
because I feel like I'm curving a lot of dangers that people who are just like me, you know, not better or worse, that are getting caught up. And even if it's not, you know, somebody who consciously takes their own life, if you just stop trying to live, you'll fall down. Like, like you'll just get taken out if you're not really trying to keep going. And I know that it feels like there's like less and less to hold on for. And I don't even feel that good about like telling people, oh, it's gonna be better. I don't know.
Yeah, same. That's why I got on the show. I was like, what's happening? It's like, we're scared. It's okay to tell the world that we're scared, you know, but it's also okay to remember with that fear, we can't let it consume us, because we're literally just allowing the powers that be win we have the power to like exist and resist and fight.
It takes a lot of energy.
Oh, absolutely. And sometimes we're not like, that's when we realize like we're not doing this just for ourselves. That's what gives us the energy.
This is why organizing is so important. And like getting on the mic and just reading the events that are coming up so that people who are not already connected but want to be just hear about something coming up. And if you have the time, you know, this is my spiel, sorry if you've heard it a million times already, but if you have the time, you've been wanting to get involved and you happen to hear that something fits into your schedule that's in your part of town or something like that, go to that, even if it's not something that's directly affecting you, even if it's about trans people in your cis, or it's about workers at a preschool and you work at Kentucky Fried Chicken, like whatever. Like,
yeah, but this is the thing that like goes back to what Bernie was saying, like in his speech after he like won Nevada, which was like, I want you to, it's telling like all the people that voted for him, he's like, I want you to care about these things even if you don't have them. You know, I want you to care about healthcare regardless of whether or not you have it, because you want.
Oh, that's where they got the meme from. Well, oh, no, I should have sent it to you so you know what I'm talking about. It was like a meme where they put Bernie Sanders in like a truck with some people and said, it said like, get in, losers. We're about to help some people we don't know.
Oh, my God.
I just thought that was kind of cute. I don't know. I think it was like.
Yeah, but like, that's such a powerful statement right there. Can you think outside of yourself, you know? Like, I am sitting here, even though we started off like caring about like, or talking about Islamophobia, it's like we've talked already about so much in like the half an hour we've been on, but like, this is proof that we care about things bigger than ourselves. It shows like the nuance that we have in our lives of like, no, these aren't like at like just the things that make up who we are. Like, who we are is made up of like people in our lives. You know? Like, we are parts of a whole.
After a whole. The first Muslim ban that Trump tried to put through, I was in New York City that day, and me and a bunch of people went to JFK Airport. Oh, Terminal right. 4. Shut it down for hours.
That was a big thing. I remember that.
And that was a big part of the reason that he was not able to ultimately be successful that day in like trying to keep all these people from coming in. And like, I don't know if we would have had the same turnout if it wasn't for us there doing that part. Like, of course, there were like lawyers in the background, you know, people like, you know, doing all sorts of advocacy. And then also the cabbies went on strike.
That's right.
That day. So and it's worth saying Uber were, they were all strike breakers. So like that was, do you remember after that when people were boycotting Uber after that?
Yes.
Because it was the, like, you know, all of the taxis line up at, you know, to be able to pick people up at the terminal, stuff like that. And when they heard about the Muslim ban, the taxi drivers union were like, okay, we're not going, we're going on strike. We're not going to, like, they're shutting it down. We're not crossing it. And then Uber got smart and had like all of their drivers go out there and like
so
offered
grimy.
A lower price and all of that, so that people so
that's disgusting.
But after that, I made a video about trans and Muslim solidarity. That like I wanted to carefully give a message to some of my homegirls who have not given enough thought to, like, trans women who have not given enough thought to some of the Islamophobia that we all take in.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, how important it is in my development, my political development, that it is in understanding that
solidarity should be intersectional,
but we're also like, besides just being right or or moral, it's also a way that we can win. That if people whose movements are disparate, like, really do understand building power together and being in, like, in close, not lockstep, but like closer to one another and having more empathy and solidarity with one another, like, that's how both of those movements are going to be able to thrive, is if we have one another.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It actually reminds me, speaking of like the connection between like the queer identity and trans identity to Islam, I think a lot about, do you remember like the first World Pride Day when it was in New York not too long ago? It was like, I think 20, I think that like just before that, Trump had tried to pull, like, push another like ban, like, not long before it, and it just made me question, like, the fact that we have World Pride Day here in America when we don't even allow groups of people to come here is just baffling to me. Like, we have, and those who can are the ones with access, who have money, that it won't affect them. But those who are like queer or trans outside of the United States, who want to like go to a place where they think it's like a safe haven to express that part of themselves, you know, like, you can't even get through JFK. Like, you can't even come in. And even if you do come in here, in fairness, who's to say that like your queerness will be accepted, you know? Like, within mainstream queerness today.
What are your thoughts about mainstream queerness today, Zainab? Since you put that on the table.
I don't know. I think that it still has a lot of work to do in its intersectionality.
Can you say more?
I think we have a standard of queerness that is still very white, and the language of queerness is very academic, therefore white. I think I've had this conversation. I have to give credit to my friend, our friend Huli, who made a really good point where she was like, yeah, the language of queerness is pretty anti-immigrant if you think about it. Like, if it's rooted in academia and not every day like people have access to like the language of queerness, like, there's a level of like inaccessibility to like express who you are with that identity if you think about it, you know. And also too, if you root it back to colonialism, where like I'm sure a lot of like indigenous people in their respective countries like were able to express that aspect of themselves within their respective language, when colonialism comes along, it's like, this isn't good. We don't like what we're seeing here.
Oh my God, it's one of the reasons that they justified wiping them out.
Yeah.
Was because of all of the
two-spirit lifestyle.
All and of like the queer, all of the yeah. wrong gender ways yes. that the indigenous people here
exactly.
in Central and South America, the Caribbean, mm-hmm. like in all, you know, like those absolutely. Logs that they were saying that it's their hedonism yes. and, you know, like mm-hmm. they're so devilish, you yeah. know, for doing all of this buggery, which yeah. is... which means gay sex, basically, yeah. buggery.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That is...
Is this a real thing? And so, yeah. like, mm-hmm. if we think about it, when the colonizer entered, it's a real thing. When they entered, well, if you're going to wipe the person away with this identity, chances are you're wiping away the language of queerness. I'm sure there are people who, like, had this language, but, like, colonialism... took that away from them, not mm-hmm. even just like from the physical body, but mm-hmm. also like by doing so you uphold like white Western patriarchy and replace it with that language. So
well, that's the default.
Yeah, it's the default.
Yeah,
so
it's not that people are, you know, like not worth anything if yeah. this is what they're doing, but it's something to think about.
Yeah.
If you are not able to reach people, if yeah. you're even trying to reach people, you know, like, we should be honest, a lot of people who are wrapped up in and are interested in, you know, queer theory,
yeah,
I mean, they're not socialist activists and no. agitators no. who are trying mm-mm. to like win people over mm-mm. to like a growing movement.
Yeah,
they really are just trying to live their lives, and they yeah. want to have their queer friends and talk about their queer stuff and yeah. whatever. But I at least want to offer that without mm-hmm. keeping in mind
yeah.
Honing the skills needed to be able to talk about your heady ideas
yeah.
in a way that everyone can understand,
right.
You're sort of missing half of like what I think is needed.
Yeah.
So it's good that you know it, but can yeah. you teach it? Can you make it plain, like Malcolm X said? Because if not,
yeah.
like that's actually... I would say that you're not doing the work.
Yeah.
Like, the queer theory is intended to be liberatory.
Yeah.
You can't liberate somebody if you can't even speak to them.
No, you can't. It's yeah. not inclusive in its language and its jargon at all. If this like theory and this language is coming from academia, chances are it was built to stay in there. Just saying.
Mm-hmm. Free academia.
Right?
Okay.
Thanks, Bernie.
Also, heavy, but I just wanted to offer it. I pulled it up. The hotline to Trans Lifeline, and Trans Lifeline is a suicide prevention line for trans people. 877-565-8860, and that's translifeline.org. Mm-hmm. And if you got some money, I know they need it to help keep trans people alive. Besides being able to call in mm-hmm. if you feel like you're getting close. And the suicide prevention line, you know, has maybe not the greatest trans people on the line to be able to talk to you and relate to you. Call Trans Lifeline. 877-565-8860. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to share that with people since we brought it up. You got to give people some resources. Are there other events coming up that you got that you want to share out? The DSA March for Bernie.
Yeah, so there's the DSA March for Bernie and Universal Preschool. DSA will be joining the Women's March for Bernie as an Up Now canvas. Come prepare to rally for Bernie and gather support for Universal Preschool. Meet at Director Park at 11 a.m. on March 1st. We'll bring supplies for you to help us canvas. Director Park is at 815 Southwest Park Avenue in Portland, Oregon. Again, Sunday, March 1st from 11 to 1.
Excellent. If you want to get ready for that, for Up Now, and Up Now is Universal Preschool mm-hmm. Now. It would make 4-year-olds eligible for free early education to get them ready for kindergarten in Multnomah County, and it would be done by taxing the rich. Mm-hmm. So this is an initiative that came out of DSA, the Democratic Socialists of America, and the canvassing effort is real. There are a few coming up even before that mm-hmm. event that you're talking about.
Yeah.
So for people who want to learn how to do this, like mm-hmm. knock on people's doors yeah. and give them the pitch, it's really good practice. Mm-hmm. Like, some people might not be interested. You need to learn how to accept that so that you can get better mm-hmm. And not be afraid of people rejecting you, because some people reject what's best for them. Universal wrong. Preschool Now canvassing. There's one Saturday, tomorrow, February 29th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Oregon Convention Center. That's 777 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. So we'll be canvassing the Bricks Cascade event. So meet by the MLK statue, you know, the one that's right by the MAX and the Convention Center.
Yes.
That's where that is. And then later, there's another one at the Fred Meyer at 12 p.m. to 4 p.m. On Southwest Barber, 7555 Southwest Barber. So if, you know, you don't want Northeast, go to Southwest, but learn how to canvas, talk to people mm-hmm. About this uphill battle. It's going to be tough, but the babies need education.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The like, youth need it.
It can't be that only parents who can afford it yeah. are sending their kids mm-hmm. to early education. No.
Absolutely.
So let's educate yeah. the babies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also,
what else?
Too, this is coming up, and it's a big thing, Super Tuesday Results Watch. That's right.
Have you gone to any of these watch parties?
No, I
haven't.
Oh,
they're very spicy.
You might find me there.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's people drinking beer and watching corporate politicians try to
sway the
their
voice.
Yeah. So people get a little bit upset.
Yeah.
So yeah, you should watch.
That will be this Tuesday, March 3rd from 6 to 10 at the Lucky Lab Tap Room. The one on Killingsworth, so 1700 North Killingsworth. Join the comrades to watch the Super Tuesday results live and celebrate Bernie's win. We really hope.
He's won the popular vote. Never
I
stayed
know.
So far, so maybe.
I'm hoping okay. like nothing gets rigged up in here, you know.
You know that's going on in the Dominican Republic right now.
Oh yeah, I just read about that this morning.
So. The U.S. is not the only country who's having difficulty with their electronic voting machines.
Yep.
The Dominican Republic has canceled or postponed,
yes.
they say. We'll see. Mm-hmm. But people were in line
yeah.
waiting, and they were like, oh, yeah, it's canceled. Yeah. Go home. And people went into the streets immediately and
yeah.
started protesting.
I think this was the first time that they've had 40% of the voters be young people. So I think this is why, too, like people
trying
on
to
top,
avoid the insurgency.
Yeah, because yeah. they knew they were going to vote like mm-hmm. against what has already been upheld.
Mm-hmm. So there's also, I think like there were four solidarity actions in like stateside, because
yeah.
a lot of Dominicans live in the United States, like mm-hmm. the diaspora is real,
yep.
just like Puerto Rico, mm-hmm. just like Palestine, right?
Yeah.
When the U.S. Goes into other places and supports right-wing policies and politicians who ruin people's lives, people have to leave. Oh,
yeah.
Isn't that so terrible?
Mm-hmm.
So they had like big solidarity actions around that too.
Yeah.
And yeah, people watch the Dominican Republic because the problems that they cited, they said, oh yeah, it's the machines,
mm-hmm.
the brand new machines that
yep.
they just spend millions and millions of dollars on. They said, yeah, there's a problem with the machines, just like there was a problem with our machines
yeah.
and all of the
in Iowa
things.
Ooh.
Yeah, so yeah.
Yeah.
It's happening globally.
Yep.
Keep, you know, stay vigilant, everybody.
Yeah.
I want to plug the Jobs with Justice monthly meeting, Monday, March 2nd, 5:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. That's 1500 Northeast Irving. So this is our monthly meeting. If you are curious about what a Jobs with Justice meeting looks like, call the office and you know, get your name down and come up. But if you didn't already know, you should if you listen to the show, but I'll give you the spiel. I'll pretend I'm on the elevator right now. I'm talking to you, Zainab, okay? I'm trying to convince you to join Jobs with Justice.
Gladly. Tell me more about Jobs for Justice.
Oh, Alyssa. It's Jobs with Justice. Oh. Because to us, it's not just enough to have a job. You have to have a job with justice.
Yes.
So that means people supporting workers who are organizing and fighting back against bad working conditions, mm-hmm. and bosses who may or may not be bargaining in good faith or recognizing their right to organize at all. And we want to make sure that progressive organizations, faith institutions are able to show up for people fighting at work, and vice versa, mm-hmm. to be able to build a more powerful, more massive mm-hmm. people's movement toward the vision of justice. So mm-hmm. that's what we do at Jobs with Justice, and I hope that you come to our next meeting.
Oh, you convinced me. I just might. Oh, I'll put it in my schedule. Thank you.
I'll see you then.
I'll put it in my palm pilot because, you know, we're living in 2003 over here.
Just in case people are hearing the difference in Zainab's voice, Zainab makes fun of me. Sam, you do this. It's fine. But
I'm sorry, it's too easy.
In case anyone's listening, they're like, why is she talking about this? Okay, it's so different. Okay.
You can always tell me to stop. I'll stop. No, it's just hard to resist.
I will not, because I know how much you enjoy it.
I do.
No, I know. I bring some joy to people.
You do.
With my strange voice. And
no, it is not strange.
It's a little, it's fine.
It is vivacious.
Thank you.
There it is.
Thank you.
I think the reason why I like to mimic it so much, because it's so lively.
Thank you.
It like captures a room.
I'm trying. Apparently it also freaks out birds when I'm laughing. my friend Eddie, friend to the show, Eddie, if you're listening, he's got a bird, and he had this show playing, and every time I laugh, because Olivia is a very, very funny girl, she makes me laugh a lot, so every time I would laugh and cackle, the bird would freak out. So I'm just like, okay, whatever, listen, from someone who, like, for as far back as my memories go, my voice has been an issue. Like, sometimes people, like, would get on me for, you know, just being, you know, a femboy who didn't quite understand how to do gender correctly. And I had, like, this shrill voice, and they said I talk like a chipmunk.
Aww.
And, yeah, that was, like, when I was, like, 4 or 5 years old, and that never left me. And, you know, it's not like I figured out how to perform masculinity very well throughout the years. And then when I left New Jersey, started going to other places, people told me, you know, that I had a funny accent. It was like a regional thing, and, you know, like the little Puerto Rican flavor. It's just a lot going on.
Yeah.
Plus, I'm very loud and boisterous. I'm sorry if you don't like my voice. Don't change the dial, please. Keep it locked to Cable 90.7 FM. Listen to the struggle. Okay. So I think those are all of the events that we have coming up. Oh, but there's one coming up right now, actually.
Yeah, 8:00.
The Socialists of Color. So DSA is doing a meetup on the west side,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to be at Sante Bar at 411 Northwest Park Avenue right after this at 8 to 10. So,
Hop to it.
Yeah, so if you're a socialist of color, and, you know, when you're hanging out with your socialist friends, you're tired of being the only brown one there. When hanging with your brown friends, you're tired of being the only socialist. So, yeah, meet up with where they're going.
Yeah.
And it's happening right after this show.
At 8 o'clock till 10 p.m.
Yeah, Sante Bar. Have you been over there?
No, I have not.
Okay. You want to check it out?
I'd be down. You want to go?
Maybe. Okay. I'll call some friends and see if we want to, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, that's 411. What's the 411?
Ah.
Okay. Next week. Mary J. Blige. Okay.
Thank you.
Northwest Park Avenue. So, Jerome, my producer, thank you very much. Zainab, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
When some more Islamophobic garbage happens, feel free to call me up and...
Or just, you know, any garbage that happens on a global scale.
I want you to come on and take the garbage out, please.
Yeah. Ooh, that would be a good show right there.
That there you go.
Taking out the garbage.
Wow.
At 3 a.m.
Okay. Thank you very much. I'll see you all next week. Good luck. This is Alyssa and Zainab. Goodbye.
Bye.
You did great.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And yeah, the fact is that you are listening to KBOO 90.7 FM Portland, and here is a place where you are going to find vital information from community members. This is one of the most grounded, grassroots type of quick, easy activism that you can do for yourself. To be connected to your community at this level. So my name is Ender Black, and I'm very glad to be here, like I do once a month, the fourth Friday of the month, for my awesome show, Squirrel Snow. The time is 8 o'clock, and we're going to start by playing a couple of messages, very important messages, from the KBOO community.
Hi, I'm Rick Mitchell, and I would like to invite you to check out my program, Jazz in the New Millennium, at kboo.fm. Each one-hour program focuses on a living jazz artist, putting their work in historical perspective, from their earliest recordings to their most recent. The current season features artists who will be performing at this year's PDX Jazz Festival: Branford Marcellus, David Sanborn, Kenny Barron, Miguel Zenon, James Francis, and Kenny Garrett. The program is syndicated nationally by the African American Public Radio Consortium. It can be heard anytime on KBOO's website by going to the drop-down menu at kboo.fm, clicking on audio, then podcast, and then scrolling down to the Jazz in the New Millennium page. That's Jazz in the New Millennium with Rick Mitchell at kboo.fm.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Portland Women's March, Sunday, March 1st, from noon to 3 p.m. at Portland State University South Park Blocks in Portland. Portland Women's March is a rally committed to advancing political and social change to create an inclusive safe space for women and their allies. Again, that's Portland.